the sermon, Bold Prayer, Part 2. Last Sunday, you know, the points were practice bold prayer in our unbelief. Okay, the youth. I didn't realize how many youth we had. We love you, youth. Practice bold prayer in our unbelief. And the second point last Sunday was practice bold prayer in doing God's will. And today, practice boldness, you know, bold prayer in spiritual battle, in spiritual battle. And the passage is from 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. It says, you dear children, okay, and again, this passage is in the context of, you know, antichrist and spiritual warfare, okay? It says, you dear children are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. And the church said, you know, for those who watch too many horror movies, or for maybe those who maybe visited some of the countries in Africa or South Asia, when they think about spiritual warfare, spiritual battle, the picture that comes to our mind is people screaming and coughing, you know, people throwing up, people speaking in demonic voice, and a priest with crucifix and holy water, spraying holy water on people and saying, power of Christ compels you, I command the demonic spirit to get out, you know. But in my experience with spiritual battle, what I have learned about spiritual battle is that the greatest spiritual battle that you and I will go through is hidden. Okay? It's not manifested, but it is hidden. Because in spiritual battle, especially the greatest spiritual battle that you go through, the demonic, the devil will attack your thoughts, your emotions, your will. The devil attacks your heart. Why? Spiritual battle is a battle for your soul. Because it's a battle for your soul. And because spiritual battle, especially those big ones and great spiritual battles, hidden, because it's hidden, many are blind to it. You're going through spiritual battle and you don't realize you're going through spiritual battle. You know, I can easily discern when someone else is going through spiritual battle, but I'm being honest, when I personally go through it, I have difficult time discerning it. You know, I'm going through spiritual battle and I'm getting mad at other people around me. And what's really happening is that spiritual battle. But it's easier to blame and get mad at others or get bitter, but it's very difficult to discern that you yourself is going through spiritual warfare. David discerned a personal spiritual battle that he was going through in Psalm 51. Okay, in Psalm 51, in the context of that psalm, it was the greatest time of his weakness, greatest failure in his life, and the greatest sin that he committed in his life. And this, you know, Psalm 51, verse 10, he writes, renew a right spirit, okay, within me. In his greatest failure, sin, and weakness, he realized that he was going through spiritual battle. That's why he says, give me the right spirit. The right spirit, renew a right spirit. And what does he say? He understands. In his darkest time, in his greatest time of spiritual battle, that it was happening within him. It was inside of him, not outside, but inside of him. And in Psalm 23, verse 4, okay, Psalm 23, verse 4, David writes, even though I walk through the darkest valley, and what is he talking about in the context when he says darkest valley? It doesn't mean just difficult time, difficult circumstances, because he says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. So this darkest valley wasn't just difficulties in his life. He understood this is a spiritual battle, dark valley. A spiritual battle. And he says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And that dark valley, spiritual, you know, it's not just what's going on with work and other people and what's going on with the nation and what's going on around the world. But there's this dark valley warfare that's going on in your heart where there's overwhelming fear. Okay? Confusion, accusation, condemnation, guilt, shame. And David in Psalm 23 is practicing bold prayer. He's saying, I will fear no evil in this dark valley. And why? He's practicing bold prayer because God is with me. God is with me. In the darkest valley where there's evil, where there's spiritual battle, I'm encouraging you to practice bold prayer. Like David, you need to proclaim, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. In the dark valley, okay, it's not just the tiredness and difficulty, but the enemy lies to you and me, accuses you, demeans you. And what does it mean to pray boldly? You make up your mind, and let's make up our mind today. Stop agreeing with lies. Stop listening to the voice of shame, condemnation, and hopelessness. And choose God as God's people. Hold on to the truth. Remember, in the dark valley, not in the mountaintop, this is something that you have to remember. This is what bold prayer is. You remember in the dark valley that God loves me. He died for me. He took all my infirmity. He took my sin and paid the penalty for my sin. He forgives me and he gives me new life. That's bold prayer in the dark valley. Know who you are in Christ in the valley. You need to discern the voices of darkness. You need to discern the spiritual attack in the dark valley. See, Ephesians 6, you don't need to turn to it, verse 16. It talks about the enemy shooting fiery darts. Okay, it says darts, fiery darts. And you know what I notice about darts? Always, every time somebody has a dart, there's always a target. Did you notice that? Right? Am I the only one who saw that? You know, nobody just goes, just go throw it anywhere. You know, there's always a target that you throw darts at. And so the enemy has a target in your heart. There's a target. He doesn't just throw it aimlessly. And the enemy has a target with old issues in your life. Family brokenness, deepest pain, your greatest fear, old rejections that you cannot forgive, and past failures you cannot forgive yourself. Those are targets that the enemy has. And you know, long as, you know, you choose to leave the door open to the enemy, he will continuously throw that dart at that target. And so when he hits it, when he hits those targets, he wants to get you to the place of guilt and shame. Because once he gets you to the place of guilt and shame, I was thinking, why? Okay, is it just to hurt us? No, see, what happens is we stop praying. We stop praying. You start to say, I can't do it. I am a failure. Nobody cares about me. I'm all alone. I made too many mistakes. This is the voice of shame and guilt that's coming out. I tried before, but I always failed. God doesn't care about me. There's no hope. I give up. And the enemy keeps throwing that target so that there'll be shame in your heart and guilt. And then you get to this place of hopelessness and condemnation and accusation. And then you just stop praying. But what I want to remind you, okay, that target, he has a target. And so that dart that he's throwing at you, it's the same accusation. Can you discern it? It points to the same mistakes, the same shame, the same pain of rejection. But I'm calling the church to push back, meaning bold prayer. You know, we as a church right now, as we're going, you are going through spiritual warfare, have to say, I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm going to fight back. See, when it comes to a spiritual battle, much of the battle, you know, this is not how it's supposed to be, but much of the battle that is, the enemy has taken the offensive. And spiritual battle for the Christian is we play the defensive too much. We fight because the enemy has come into our territory, our church, our home, our children, our heart, and came to our territory to steal, to destroy, to kill, and to lie. But Jesus had a different idea when his people go through spiritual warfare. Jesus clearly intends for us to be the aggressor against the kingdom of the devil. This is the reason he gave us the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations. Okay? If God didn't think we could overcome the spiritual warfare, I mean, God is pretty cruel. Go and get killed. Go and die and get oppressed and, you know, get frustrated and, you know, lose the battle. That's not why God calls us to go into all the world, all nation. He says, go and make disciples. Go and you will win. You have the authority of Christ. And another Great Commission passage, he says, that the snakes, the demonic poison will not overcome you. You will overcome. And Jesus says about the church, the gates of hell will not overcome you in Matthew 16:18. The gates of hell will not overcome you. It is not the enemy bringing darkness into the light. We are to go to the darkest place, the gates of hell, and bring the light of God into the darkness. Now, what is bold prayer from Scripture? You got to look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. It says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasion with all kinds of prayer and request. Now, when you study the Bible, please look at the passage, look at the verse, look at that sentence in context of that chapter, of the book. You gotta look it in the context. And he says, pray in the Spirit on all occasion with all kinds of prayer and request. Okay? And it's in the context of spiritual battle in chapter 6. In this verse is in the context, it says in that chapter, it says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take a stand against the devil's scheme. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the power of this dark world and against the spiritual force of evil in the heavenly realm. So in the context, the Bible's talking about when God's people are going through intense spiritual battle, and what does he say? Okay. Pray in the Spirit on all occasion, all kinds of prayer and request. Because what's funny is it's different from what the what people think about prayer when they think about spiritual battle. Okay? When they think about spiritual battle, prayer, you know, some Christians, especially in Africa, you have to scream when you pray. In the name of Jesus, get out, you know. I cast you out in the name of Jesus. Rebuke the evil spirit. Some people believe in order to win spiritual battle in prayer, you have to shout to the devil, okay? Because the devil might be deaf or something. You got to scream. Some say you need to know their name, identify the demonic spirit name. Some say you have to know the history of the territory to get rid of the territorial spirit. Some say, you know, this one teacher made us go walk around the church for, you know, 7 times. Because the Bible said, you know, the Jericho wall fell when on the 7th day his people walked around 7 times. This passage don't say that. It doesn't say scream when you pray. Rebuke the evil spirit when you pray this bold prayer for spiritual battle. But it says, pray on all occasion with all kinds of prayer. What bold prayer in spiritual battle is not identifying the name of the demonic or you're screaming at the demons. There's true power in prayer. What this is talking about is you have a lifestyle of prayer. Pray in all occasion with all kinds of prayer. Okay? What this kind of prayer represents to me is like breathing. Okay? You're breathing. This is a lifestyle. Okay? Breathing is a lifestyle. You know that, right? Huh? If you stop breathing, you die. And that's how you think about prayer. Nobody here will say, you know, breathing is just too boring. I don't want to do it. Nobody here will say that. You know, breathe, I don't have time to breathe. Right? I'm just too busy to breathe today. I don't have the time. But what this, in the context of spiritual warfare, what it's saying is, you know, true power, bold prayer, is that you continuously pray. You, like breathing, you know that you need to do it. You know that it is important. You always do it. And you cannot live without it. You cannot live without it. See, that's why the devil, he doesn't want you to get to that place where your prayer becomes a lifestyle, becomes so natural, like breathing. Because he knows that when you get to that place of prayer, he is defeated. He's scared. The devil is scared of your prayer life. That's why, you know, he paints a lie about prayer. What he want, if you do pray, you know what he wants? He wants to be forced, boring. It becomes a performance. He wants prayer to be life draining, disconnected. It becomes a duty. It's performance. It's a ritual. You know why? Because when it's not a lifestyle, it's a performance and ritual, there's no power in prayer. There's no power in prayer. Prayer becomes meaningless. And so that's why the devil will come to you and make you believe in this lie about prayer. It's a waste of time. Forget it, you know. God's not listening to you. It's not a priority. Just skip it. Just skip it. The greatest spiritual battle will happen, the Bible says, in the end time. Okay, in the end time. And of course, I don't know the day, the time that Jesus will return. I don't know, because the Bible says nobody knows. Okay? But there's signs that the Bible talks about. This, in Luke 21, it says there will be crazy things happening. There will be great deception. So many people will be deceived. There's wars and uprising. There's great tragedy. There's persecution. Your hearts will feel way down. There will be anxiety and stress in life. And there will be many unexpected things that will happen in the end time. And in the end time, Jesus talks about this great spiritual battle that will be released in the end time. And what was Jesus' solution? Luke chapter 21, verse 36. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen. How are you going to overcome the greatest spiritual battle that we ever faced in the history of humankind? Jesus says, not build a bunker. That's not what he says. Okay. Don't join the world. Okay. Jesus says, pray. He doesn't just say, pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray means that you're always praying. Okay? You're always praying. And when the Bible talks about always praying, it means that you have developed a lifestyle of prayer. The devil, the name, the devil, it means to accuse. So he is here, the devil, you know, what he wants to do is to slander, accuse, condemn, and defile. And why does he do that? Well, he does that so that we get to this place that we're filled with so much shame and guilt that we stop praying. Guilt and shame is a tool the devil uses to stop you from bold prayer. See, after you hear this sermon, okay, this is what's going to happen. You go, I'm so excited to pray. Amen, right? Okay. I'm so excited to pray. But I'm going to be honest with you, okay, because I want to prepare you. When you get excited to pray, when you go home, the enemy will fight you more intensely. Will fight you more intensely. Lies will be more intense. Temptation will be greater. Depression will come to the surface. Fear will take hold of you. You get more easily angry at your spouse and your children. You'll get more easily angry with your friend. Why? When you fall into that, the devil will start condemning you and accusing you and defiling you, so that there will be guilt and shame in your heart. And when there's guilt and shame in your heart, what I notice is when you pray, prayer becomes a performance. It's driven by pressure. It's driven by people's opinion. It's driven by guilt. And then what happens when you pray because of guilt and performance? The devil knows this. You will stop praying. You will stop praying. But what I'm challenging you is to practice bold prayer. Okay? You do not give up. Even in the midst of the spiritual battle, even though, you know, you get into this fight with your wife or your husband, even though there's shame and guilt bubbling up, the devil's shooting his darts at shame, and so that shame and guilt builds up. I'm challenging you. You stand and you say, I'm still going to pray. Say, condemnation is not going to stop me from praying. My mistakes is not going to stop me from praying. The shame is not going to stop me from praying. See, the greatest barrier to winning the spiritual battle is that self-reliance, self-effort to do things out of our own strength, our own understanding. Greatest barrier to winning spiritual battle is self-righteousness. That's why Jesus called the Pharisee vipers and snakes. They were doing the work of the devil. It's selfishness. Greatest barrier to overcoming spiritual battle. And I just got this, you know, a lot of you, you know, you want to do God's will and you got convicted to pray and the enemy attacked you because of that. Okay? The enemy attacked you. You know why? This is the truth. I want you to receive this. The devil is scared of your prayer. Why would he attack you? Because he is scared of your prayer. But my challenge to you in bold prayer is do not allow the devil, no matter what he does, no matter what darts he throws at you. I'm challenging you, church. Stay on your knees. Stay on your knees. You see, the self, you see, you know, how do you overcome the self? You know, but how do you know that if you're relying on your own strength? It's very easy for me. How do you know that you're relying on your own strength? You don't pray. You stop praying. How do you know if you're relying? Because to overcome spiritual battle, you have to rely on God's power, not human power. Not your power. It has to be God's power. How do you know you are relying on the power of God, that you're dependent on God? Even though you feel weak, you fail, you've been criticized, you're lied to in the darkest valley, even though you're being spiritually attacked, there's shame and guilt, how do you know you're relying on God during that time? You continue to pray. You don't stop praying. You continue to pray. And that is bold prayer in the midst of spiritual battle. No matter how, you made a huge mistake. Oh, not again. I'm challenging you to bold prayer. Get on your knees and pray. You know, one truth that we need to understand in spiritual warfare, Jesus Christ defeated the devil on the cross. Okay? Say that. Jesus Christ defeated the devil on the cross. So what the devil is not going to be defeated. The devil is already defeated. Okay, it's already defeated. And as a disciple of Jesus, it's not to defeat the devil, but to administer the defeat. Okay? Administer the defeat. You see, there's spiritual battle that we go through, but God gave us a weapon to win every battle. Okay? It is to administer the defeat. The way we administer the defeat is through not legalistic prayer, performance prayer, no prayer, haphazard prayer, but bold prayer, a lifestyle of prayer, faith in prayer. See, the enemy shoots his dart of guilt and shame, and we administer the defeat. Right? Not through performance. We minister the defeat by continuing to pray boldly. And God's people said, amen.